How does a central banker think about reopening the U.S. economy? I'm David Brancaccio. First, there's news that another 6.6 million people signed up for unemployment benefits after losing their jobs last week. That's only slightly under the record set the week earlier. Economists have been up at night worried about this figure out today. This is starting to sound more intense than even the Great Recession of about a dozen years ago. Let's consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. She joins us from Chicago.
If we factor in all those who are still trying to get into their unemployment claims and actually trying to apply and are now eligible to apply but unable to because of the antiquated systems, we probably have exceeded the 8.8 million loss in jobs in 3 weeks' time and nearly doubled that of the Great Recession, which is just stunning.
And we're seeing in this morning's figure it's spreading into new industries, the layoffs?
Exactly. It's almost nowhere to hide. Not only is there the food services, the leisure and hospitality industries that were first hit, there's retail, there's manufacturing, there's wholesale trade. There's areas where there is hiring because of online still also firing. Also in healthcare, we're seeing all those small dental offices, small physician's offices, many laid off healthcare workers, and those workers are often showing up as volunteers in hospitals where the crisis is the worst.
Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We also have the Federal Reserve today announcing it is using its credit creation magic to make $2.3 trillion more dollars available to backstop the U.S. economy hit by the virus. Fed Chair Powell is set to speak about this shortly. The Dow is up at the moment 444 points, 1.9%. The NASDAQ up 1.5%. The S&P 500 is up 1.9%. The S&P, though, is down 17% from its high set in mid-February. Crude oil is up about 6% now with OPEC meeting on production limits. That's beginning shortly. The Senate will vote today on a bill that would add $250 billion to emergency small business loans. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has more.
As we've reported, it hasn't been easy for small businesses to get these loans, in part because banks have been overwhelmed by applications. So Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said, "We can't let the program run out of money," and he asked Congress for the additional funding. If this bill passes the Senate, it still has to get through the House, and Democrats, who control the House, want to put some other things in it. They want to specify that half of the additional loan money go through small community banks that serve businesses owned by farmers, people of color, women, veterans, and nonprofits. They also want $100 billion for hospitals to help pay for testing and protective equipment, and $150 billion for state and local governments, which are struggling because businesses are closed and there's very little tax revenue coming in. And Democrats want more money for the SNAP benefits program, too. Republicans say they want to pass the small business loan part of this quickly and debate the other stuff later. I'm Mariel Segarra for Marketplace.
When Federal Reserve bankers speak, market participants listen. Let's hear from one today. Eric Rosengren is the president of the Boston Fed, a bank that's playing a key role in running the special fund to make sure that money market mutual funds function smoothly during this pandemic. I wanted to know about the shape of an eventual recovery. Dr. Rosengren, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, David.
We had this downward plummet. What about the other side of this? Some people are expecting a V shape where once we figure out the testing, once we get people back to work, it'll shoot back upward. Are you in that camp?
Well, one of the challenges in estimating where the economy is going to be, you also need to estimate what the infection rate is going to be across the economy. And I think that's still quite uncertain. If we are successful with the social distancing in bringing down the infection rate very significantly and can do testing, then it's more likely the economy comes back quickly. While I certainly would hope for a V type of recovery, I unfortunately think it's probably going to be a little bit slower than that.
I guess another way to think about it is, are we going to end up with a sustained downturn that might resemble the last Great Recession that followed the mortgage crisis? Is it still too early to have a sense of that?
until we have a vaccine and people are completely comfortable, the duration and severity of this downturn is hard to determine. Social distancing is very expensive, and basically we need signs of the economy not being affected by social distancing. So the first thing I'd be looking at are people comfortable using mass transit. The second thing I'd be looking at is, are people comfortable going back to bars and restaurants? And then finally, are people comfortable going back to large entertainment venues? I think it's going to be some time before we get to that last area, and that means it's going to be some time before the economy is fully recovered.
States, cities, towns, counties, if they're going to keep the public sector people on their payrolls, these governments are probably going to need some help, right?
I think that's definitely right. And coming out of the last recession, one of the areas that was very slow to get back up to speed was state and local government. The reason is because they have to have a balanced budget. And so they're making a lot of expenditures now. And if we don't get some fiscal transfers, it's going to be very difficult for state and local governments not to be doing budget cuts at the very time we're trying to get the economy to recover.
This is a public health crisis. Obviously, it's an economic crisis, but we don't say, at least yet, that it's a crisis of the financial system. How would you say markets are holding up with the Fed's help, of course?
I think we've made some progress on avoiding serious financial spillovers. Obviously, the stock market is still much lower than it was prior to the COVID-19 becoming a real problem. I think the big question is, over time, does some of the firms become more of a credit risk? And the longer the maturity or the greater the credit risk, the less likely there are very many trades at this time.
I mean, I'm hearing you, right? There are a lot of companies that are quite extended and have a lot of debt. And if perceptions change about risk there, you could have further stresses on the financial system.
That's exactly right. One of the challenges going into this period was that the corporate sector in the United States was already heavily indebted. And a firm that's highly leveraged has less capacity to be resilient when a shock like this occurs. That frequently means layoffs, and it may mean more firm closures than we would have seen if we didn't have as much leverage in the economy.
Eric Rosengren is president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Rosengren and I recorded that yesterday afternoon. This morning, the Fed has this new $2.3 trillion credit package. It includes a lot of new credit for those municipalities we were just talking about. The Fed today also moved to make more emergency loans available for small businesses. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.